Hello, I am Ashish Jaman, ISV Architect Evangelist with Microsoft, and today we'll talk about how to secure the WCF RESTful Web Services. This screencast is a follow-up to my previous screencast on RESTful services using WCF. If you have not watched that or want to know more about RESTful WCF, I highly encourage you to review that. For this screencast, I am using Visual Studio 2008 SP1 running on Windows 7, RC bits. We will start with a quick overview of RESTful Web Services using WCF. So what is REST? REST is an acronym for Representational State Transfer. The idea is that on the web, everything is a resource. Your pages are resource, your images are resource, and REST makes it possible to treat your web services as resource as well. So you will use common HTTP verbs like get, put, post, and delete to work with the resources on the web using web services. So with REST, you can expose your resources in common formats like XML and JSON. Now with WCF, which is Microsoft's technology to create distributed applications and web services, WCF is very, very extensive, and by the very virtue of it being extensive, it was very, very easy to create a new binding that would expose web WCF services as RESTful services. So we created a new HTTP binding, web HTTP binding, which allows us to expose a WCF service in a RESTful way. You know, obviously, since it's a RESTful service, it would only support HTTP and HTTPS and would support all those HTTP verbs like get, put, post, and delete, and the web message encoding of JSON and XML. What we also did is, after we released WCF with .NET 3.5 SP1, we started working on WCF REST Starter Kit, which is on CodePlex. You can go and download it. And also, you know, parts of this, you know, as it matures, would become part of .NET 4.0. So when you host a WCF service in IIS, you have to specify a host factory. A factory that would provide instances of your service host in managing that hosting environment in IIS, and create host instances dynamically to respond to incoming messages. With the WCF REST Starter Kit CTP2, you get two new classes, Web Service Host 2 Factory and Web Service Host 2. What that allows you to do is, in IIS, automatically configure the endpoints, the binding endpoints, with IIS security settings and other stuff. In Web Service Host 2, there is a class called Request Interceptor. So with Request Interceptor, what we will do is we would subclass a Request Interceptor and attach ourselves to the Web Service Host 2's Request Interceptor. Now what that allows us to do is to implement a method in our Request Interceptor, which is obviously the process request, so that every request that comes through this web service host 2 goes through the process request method, and in that method we can hook ourselves for both basic authentication as well as the other authentication, which is token based authentication. So let's see this in action. So firing of Visual Studio 2008, in this demo, what I'm trying to achieve is there's this resource called project with an ID, name, description, and complete date, and I want to access this resource or this project using simple HTTP calls like get and post and put and delete. So to get all the projects, I'd call whatever my service base URL is /projects, and it should return me a list of projects. If I want to find a project with a specific ID, my URI or my URL would look like service base URL /project/that ID, and it should return me the project, and so on and so forth. I also have a dummy a dummy URL which adds some dummy projects for me. The implementation of this interface, so one of the things obviously you'd have to do as a WCF service, you have to put a service contract on top of this service so that the WCF can expose this as a service. And then to make it RESTful, you put some custom attributes like WebGet and WebInvoke. Now the implementation of the service is pretty simple, which is right here. I'm just, you know, I'm creating a list of projects and add dummy. Let's directly go to add dummy method here, and I'm adding some dummy data there. And then if I have to list all the projects, I'm just simply returning the list of projects. If the call is for a project with a specific ID, I'm firing a link query on top of this and returning that project. So pretty simple implementation of service. And since I have to host it in IIS, one of the things I have to do is add a services.svc file, or you can name it anything.svc file. In this SVC file, you have to put the name of the service, obviously where the actual implementation is. In my case, it is projects namespace dot project service, which is right here, this class. And as we talked about the factory, now IIS obviously requires this factory so that it can activate and instantiate the endpoints for you. And the factory here is in system.servicemodel.activation.webservicehostfactory, and this is by the virtue of that the RESTful implementation on WCF that we have provided as part of .NET 3.5 SP1. So once you do this, it's actually very simple. You don't have to do anything in the web.config, because web service host factory takes care of everything, all the bindings, default endpoints, and everything. Right? So as you look in my web config, there's nothing except, you know, since it is hosted in IIS, I have to just specify the ASP.NET compatibility enabled, you know, make it false, and if I make it true, then obviously I have to change something in my implementation of the service. But by default, this is the bare minimum web.config I need. So let me quickly run and show you it in action. So here I have it running now. Let me just call it through. Let's say I want to call it services.svc/projects, and this should return me all the projects I have, which are those dummy 7 projects. If I want to get a project with ID 3, it returns me that. So it is as simple as that. Now, one of the things obviously missing here is the security. Now, if I don't want anyone who can open up a browser and fire and get and do a list of all the projects, I don't want them to see this data. So I want to put it behind some kind of authentication mechanism. For that, the implementation is provided by that web service host factory, host two factory, and web service host 2, that is part of our REST starter kit. So let's now implement some authentication for our project resource in our RESTful service. So the first thing, as you see here, the factory that is instantiating our endpoints and everything is web service host factory, which is default. Now, one of the things we would do in this case, because we have to intercept each and every request to provide authentication, we would implement our own factory implementation by inheriting from web service host 2 factory, which is part of microsoft.servicemodel.web. Once we do that, you know, we have to override the service host method, and in here we would also implement another host, which actually we'll just inherit from web service host 2 and implement. So there's bare minimum information, other than, you know, in this case I am just providing a service URI where my service resides. So as you look into the code, there's nothing much other than just creating our own host, which is just inheriting from web service host 2 factory, and then getting it running. Now for this, obviously we'll have to now change in the SVC file our host factory to point to this. So let's actually do that quickly. Now this factory should change to project host factory. And if we save it and run it, it should run as is. The only difference obviously now is rather than the host factory is not the default, but you know, our own, and it should run as is and the behavior should be as is. The only thing that is missing here is we haven't implemented any security just yet, right? But we just want to make sure that we are intercepting that, you know, at least the creation of the service host, so that anything we have to do, we can actually put in this region. And once we put it in this region, it should more or less work. So let's run it again, obviously without security, but making sure that our host is being called. So let's quickly go there. We have debugged. Let's just try to refresh this. At this point, it should break, hopefully, into our custom implementation of the host factory. Yeah, so here it is. So now we know that we are intercepting at least the creation of the host factory. So that's well and good. Everything should work. I'll just actually disable this and have it running. And as we do add dummy, it should bring all that. And as we, let's get the list of all the projects. Let's get the third one. Everything works. And we also have a mechanism where I just can clean all the projects. And at this point, I've actually practically removed everything from my all my project history. So if I just go back here, I should have nothing. So the idea is that everything is working other than, you know, we have our own factory that is intercepting the creation of endpoints, which is good. Now we have more power in our hands to intercept the request. So the web service host 2 provides us with a mechanism to intercept a request. Let's actually create a basic authentication interceptor. So the basic authentication interceptor is very simple. We inherit, we make a subclass of request interceptor, which allows us to plug this right in every request that comes to our RESTful service. In the very, very basic implementation, every call that comes to our server through this factory would go through this process request. And in this process request, all we are trying to do is saying, okay, give me the credentials, if any, are passed with the request. If they aren't, then go back and tell it to give me the basic authentication credentials. So this goes back as a response to the browser. Browser looks at the response, prompts the user for credentials, and the credentials are then passed here. And very, very simple implementation. Nothing great about it. The only thing I've done here is obviously hard coded it. We're saying, you know, if the username is foo and the password is bar, then, you know, think that it is authenticated. Now, for all practical purposes, what you have to do is you have to implement something here that goes against your own credential store, if you have any, and then authenticate against that credential store, and then return true or false based on, you know, the what the user says he is or she is, right? So very, very simple implementation. And now I have this basic auth interceptor. What I'll do here is I would actually put that call right here. So I create a new instance of the basic interceptor, and then passing it, you know, just the realm, which actually it would show up when it prompts the end user. And then, you know, just add it to my web service host.interceptors.add. And as soon as I do this, you know, any call that comes through this factory now would actually go through this and then call the process request. And in our process request, we are authenticating the user. So it's as simple as that. I'll save it and I will run it again and show you this thing in action. All right, so I have this browser now. So let's go back to what is it, services.projects. And now it goes back to the server, says, okay, there are no credentials passed with this request. It should come back and prompt me for some credentials. At this point, here is my credential. Obviously, this is not recommended for the very reason that I will be sending my credentials on a non-secure HTTP protocol. If I am doing it in production, I'll actually put a security certificate or SSL behind it. So, so that should be the right way to do it, but it's a demo, so you can forgive me. So here, if I put foo bar, well, I get everything, and since my browser actually caches my credentials and the next call and everything. Now let's actually try to put the wrong set of credentials and make sure that those credentials don't have access. Right, so here I am now. I should put bar and foo maybe, and it would prompt me again and again and again, and finally it says, it won't show me anything. So the basically what we have done here is we have implemented a mechanism that every service call now can be authenticated with basic authentication. Now, this is pretty simple implementation, and the code is published with the screencast. You can take a look and see, if you can use it for your environment. Now, I also have implemented another interceptor that does look into the authorization header and see if there is a token passed, and based on that, it would actually allow the user in or not access to that particular resource. So I have this key auth interceptor, exactly on the same model. I'm inheriting and subclassing the request interceptor, and the process request goes and extracts the token from the request. If there is a token, then and if it is a write token, then it actually creates that security context. Otherwise, it would give an unauthorized response code back to the browser. And in this token, it's a very, very simple token. I've hard coded it to foo bar, but obviously, in your production environment, you would have some mechanism where you have this token storage in the back end, which you would verify this token with. And then you'd also have to provide a mechanism for your API caller or the user to get the token for the first time. That could be a very different mechanism, through the web service or not. That's something you can decide. But the idea of this is, if the user passes this foo bar token with the request, then it's authenticated. Otherwise, it is not. Now, to hook this back into a service, I'm sorry, I'll actually let me comment this one, which is our older authentication mechanism, basic authentication, and I will hook the key token. So key auth interceptor, and that should do it. Now to test this, obviously, I can't use browser, but I can use Fiddler. So let's fire up a Fiddler instance and test this out. All right, so let me first, before I start the Fiddler instance, let me actually put it in debug just to make sure that it is running and everything. And now get my Fiddler up here. So I'm trying to make a GET request to localhost slash project service, service projects add dummy, and I would put this authorization header with key auth token equals to foo bar. Let me actually remove this first and try to execute it. It did come back, but should have no data with it. No response data. Now, if I put my authorization header, key auth foo bar, and let's actually also put a breakpoint just for kicks here. Let's actually put a breakpoint in here. Process request, execute it. It broke here. I'll see my token foobar is passed, and you know my authentication mechanism, very very simple. The token is foobar, yeah, then it's authenticated. Yes, it is authenticated. Let's go back and look here. Here we got the 200 back, which is HTTP okay. That means we got the response back. We can look in XML, and this is what we got back. We get back. So here it is, a very very simple implementation of you know, putting authentication in front of your REST API if you want. So here are some of the resources if you want to learn more about RESTful services. Go to msdn.com and search for REST. Also go to Codeplex, ASP.NET, Codeplex.com, and look for RESTful services or REST Starter Kit. And as always, our team blog, blogs.msdn.com/usisvde, where we publish the latest and greatest of what's going on the product side from Microsoft. Thank you very much for viewing, and I'll see you on the other side.